Well, we've been enjoying the Gospel of Luke on Sunday nights. So I encourage you to go there in Luke chapter 2. And last time we were together, talked about the devotion of a widow, Anna. Anna, your name means grace. Did you know that? You did. Good. Beautiful name and a beautiful person in the scriptures. So Luke chapter 2, we learned from her devotion, and tonight we're going to pick up immediately following Joseph and Mary's encounter with Anna there in the temple. Tonight, what we're going to be confronted with is Jesus's consciousness that, in other words, or shall I say, his understanding, even as a boy, of his true identity. That he indeed was the Son of God. And we're going to talk about the significance of that and why Luke seems to focus on that tonight. So Luke chapter 2, we pick up in verse 39, when they, that is Joseph and Mary, had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. Now I just stopped there, and there's not a lot in that verse, but really there is. The Gospel of Luke, again, I've told you many times, is very unique. In other words, what it tells us through the Christmas narrative is unique, and Matthew's account is different. So we have two Gospels that tell of Jesus' birth, Matthew and Luke, and they both have, they tell differing account, differing stories from the same time of Jesus' life, from his entrance into our realm. And so putting Matthew and Luke together in a timeline can sometimes be difficult. And one of the challenges comes here in this very verse. Because what does Matthew tell us in Matthew chapter 2? It tells us that the Magi come, the wise men come, and they come not to Nazareth, but they come to Bethlehem. And that's where they find the baby Jesus, and they worship him there, and they give him gifts. And then they return back another way instead of going back to Herod. And of course, Herod then slaughters all the babies two and under there in Bethlehem. But an angel comes and tells Joseph, listen, you need to get out of here. And so Joseph and Mary escape to Egypt. And we're not told how long they're in Egypt, except for the detail that they are there until King Herod dies. And then they are alerted once again, and they come back, but they don't go back to Bethlehem, but they go all the way back to Nazareth. Here, they're in the temple. Jesus is around 40, 41 days old, from best we can tell. And it says they go back to Nazareth. And so sometimes people will point to this as a conflict, a contradiction. How can this be? How do we make these things work? I'll tell you that the best harmony that I can find to put these two things together would be that Matthew chapter 2 would have taken place right in the middle of verse 39. There's nothing in Luke's verse here that demands that they immediately went back to Nazareth. That's the best I can tell you, because we do realize that Jesus was known as a Nazarene, as someone who came from Nazareth, and so we know that's where he was brought up. Not Bethlehem. Some commentators make the point that Joseph made his home in Bethlehem. I will disagree with that. So nevertheless, it's not a big deal. Why doesn't Luke have the Magi in here? I don't know exactly the answer to that either. But don't be fazed by these seeming contradictions. I do believe that God's word is accurate and that what I have shared definitely makes sense with the narrative. So, nevertheless, they eventually end up in Nazareth. They do spend time in Egypt. They are there, but then they return back to Nazareth. So in Nazareth, we see verse 40, the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now, remember the purpose of Luke writing. Luke 1:4 is the purpose statement of this book. So Luke 1:4, it tells us that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. So he's talking to Theophilus specifically, but really generally to all of his readers, that you might know the certainty of those things wherein you have been instructed. So just remember, Luke is primarily writing to a Gentile audience. Theophilus would have been brought up in the early church, would have been a new Christian, would have been taught by the apostles, maybe even the Apostle Paul, maybe sat in one of the churches that the Apostle Paul planted. And Luke, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, puts this gospel together to help these new believers in the church, especially those that are Gentiles, to have a firm understanding of the background of Jesus Christ, of his life, of his birth, all the way up through his death and resurrection. And then Luke just takes it on through the early church, all the way up to their present day. In this passage, and we're going to talk about the whole trip to Jerusalem and Jesus getting lost. Does Jesus get lost? Well, we're going to have some fun perspectives here tonight, okay? Because what we're going to see tonight is we're going to see two perspectives. You know, we're going to see a perspective from humanity. From purely just a human perspective, this is our life, this is what we know, and this is how we operate as human beings. But also, there's this perspective that God's here. God's on the earth. And we need to understand that and live according to that. And it doesn't matter if you are his mom and adopted dad, if you will, you need to realize God's in the house. God is here. And so the two differing perspectives. Even in this verse 40 that we just looked at, you can see this coming through, humanity and deity. Look at it. The child grew. Child grew physically, certainly. This would have. We just talked about this morning, how Jesus, the promised one in Isaiah, is introduced as a child, and he grows up as a tender shoot. Remember that? I mean, that kind of language is implying that from a child, he's growing up. The promised one grows up from being born as a baby of a virgin. So humanly speaking, Jesus grew up, and he waxed strong in spirit. In other words, he grew up mentally and was a strong in personality and spirit. These same words were said of John the Baptist. If you just look in Luke chapter 1 and verse 80, these words are said of John the Baptist. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. John the Baptist was indwelt by the very Spirit of God. He wasn't God, but he was indwelt by the Spirit of God. And so he grew up physically. He was indwelt by the Spirit. He waxed strong in the Spirit. These same things are said of the child Jesus. But what else is said about Jesus that is not said of John the Baptist is that, in verse 40, he was filled with wisdom and the grace of God was upon him. We're talking about a young child here. And this is the only account, inspired account that we have of the boyhood of Jesus. But yet it's so significant and foundational for us. In other words, Jesus was a man. He grew up. He was a boy. But yet he was God. He grew up, he waxed strong in spirit, but he was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. So Luke gives us that as an introduction to this narrative, this story, if you will, true story. The Jews, the God-fearing Jews, were required 3 times a year to go into Jerusalem on a pilgrimage feast. There were 3 feasts that were called pilgrimage feasts. It was the Passover, Pentecost, and then the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Booths. Booths, B-O-O-T-H-S, not booze. Booths. 3 pilgrimage feasts. What was required is that the Jewish males were to go back to Jerusalem and to celebrate these feasts there. What we see here in the text is that Jesus, along with his parents, notice that word, verse 41, and his parents. Luke, in some ways, I wonder if God, through Luke here, is playing with us, just not in a, and I mean this in a reverential way. He's making us think. He's preparing us for the punchline here. Because it's going to come. And so we as a reader are riding along in this narrative of we've got these parents of Jesus, humanity, speaking here. And the parents are going into Jerusalem, obeying the law to celebrate the Passover. Now, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of the Passover when he was 12 years old. He's 12. They went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast, and when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus, okay, again, human language, human understanding, family terms, parents, child. The child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. Now listen, this passage is not here to teach us about good and bad parenting. That's not why this is here. This is not a rebuke for Joseph and Mary for losing their 12-year-old son in the busy Jerusalem. How dare you, Joseph and Mary? And I mean, this is God, and you lost them. This is not what it's for. But what we can appreciate, because we're moms and dads, we're kids here, you know, we can appreciate the reality of this, can't we? We have parents, and we have a child, Jesus. You have a busy feast, lots of people, you have kinsfolk and family traveling together, and so after the appointed time, you leave, and you just assume your child is with cousin Jacob, and they're traveling, and they're behind you. At the end of the day's journey, you're going to catch up, and everything's going to be just fine. Just the way you do things back in those days. You're walking. Well, they travel a day's journey. And then they seek to meet up, and they could not find him. They had lost Jesus. They could not find him. Verse 45 tells us, when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem. They were seeking him. Seeking him. Looking for Jesus. This is his parents. He's 12. He's called a child in the text. And as parents, our hearts are like, have you ever lost a child? Parents? Anybody ready to admit it? Anybody left one at church? Oh, man. left one at a throughway exit. Top that one. Anybody. Oh, boy. No, but really, listen. Luke is great in connecting with us as readers, because here we are. We're engaged with this, aren't we? I mean, you're feeling it. Moms, you're feeling this, right? Your child is not where you thought he should be. And you're a day away. And Jerusalem, busy. Big place, lots of people. Now, just remember something here. This is all humanity, human perspective. They had lost the child Jesus. But what they forgot was, what? His true identity was, he's the Son of God. And what we're seeing in this passage is, from the very beginning, from the get-go, Jesus' identity is wrapped up not in his humanity, his human relationship as son of Joseph, son of Mary, but it's wrapped up as he's the Son of God. And that becomes paramount. That's primary. Virgin birth, absolutely important. That, yes, he was of the line of Jacob, and all of that is absolutely crucial. But in Jesus' mind, his identity was wrapped up in not being the son of Joseph and Mary, but he's the Son of God. And so that, even from his boyhood, and Luke provides that foundation for us, it then builds for us as we go throughout the narrative, this is who Jesus is. Well, they head back. You guys want to know the end of the story, right? What happened? Did they find Jesus? Is he eternally lost? No, he is not. Look here at verse 46. It came to pass that after 3 days, so they had gone, they returned back, that's 2 days, and spent 1 day looking, came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. They were seeking him, and now they found him. But yet Luke does not break the human perspective here yet. He holds us in here. So we finally breathe a sigh of relief. Jesus has been found. The sighting has been made. He's in the temple. But what we are given is a description of what he is doing. He is in the temple, and he is engaged with the intellects, the intellectuals, the doctors, the ones who have studied and know the scriptures and the law. And there the 12-year-old boy sits. And he is hearing them, and he is asking them questions. Anybody 12 here tonight? Any 12-year-olds? No 12-year-olds? One day ago. Thank you, Ian. Phew! He got out of that one, right? But can you imagine this? Silas and Ian. How old are you, Silas? You're 11. Ian's 13. The average is 12. So you two answer for this, okay? All right. So could you imagine this? All right. You are in Jerusalem, and you are with all the knowledgeable people of the scriptures. And your parents aren't there. In fact, you haven't seen your parents for 2 or 3 days. And you're asking questions of these people, and you're listening to them. Can you imagine yourself doing that? No. No. It's just not something that a 12-year-old boy would naturally be doing. But this is where they find Jesus. And this gives us the precursor. This gives us foreshadowing of what is to come. All right, so let's remember humanity and deity, two different perspectives. Verse 48, when they saw him, they being his parents, as the text tells us, they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother. Now, this is where the text starts to diverge. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Son, accurate, right? He is her son. Absolutely accurate. Why hast thou dealt with us? In her mind, she is frantic. She is, as the text tells us, sorrowing, troubled. Why have you done this to us? What are you going to say? I mean, this is a common, regular reaction. In fact, this is probably mild. So the way some of us would be if our 12-year-old took off like this. But listen, this is all human perspective, because Jesus Christ never sinned. So we're not talking about him doing anything wrong here. But yet Joseph and Mary are frustrated and sorrowful. It says, the text tells us, behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. Read between the lines. We are troubled and frustrated. Is this because Jesus sinned against them? Or is it because they have lost the perspective? The perspective that God gave them through the angels. You shall bear a son, and he shall be the son of the highest. Let me take you on a brief journey of Jesus' identity thus far in the Gospel of Luke. We're going to work from this passage and go backwards. In Luke chapter 2, verse 11, he is called Christ the Lord. In Luke chapter 1, verse 43, he is called the Lord. In Luke 1:35, he is called the Son of God. In Luke 1:32 and 33, he is known as the King of Israel and shall reign forever on the throne of David. And in Luke 1:32, he is called the Son of the Highest. And in each of these places, I believe Mary, at least the bare minimum, was privy to each one of these announcements or acknowledgments of Jesus' deity, of Jesus' identity. But she is a human being. And I can only imagine what that must have been like to try to be the mother of the Son of God. But yet God has divinely revealed to her his true identity. But yet in the midst of the frustration, it seems that they forgot or lost the perspective that God had given to them. And what we see in Jesus' response is a reorientating of his parents' perspective. And therefore, we as readers are reoriented. Because we have just taken this journey, this ride with the parents through Jerusalem, out of Jerusalem, know Jesus, back to Jerusalem, finally found him, frustrated. Oh. But this is really who Jesus is. This is really where Jesus belongs. Jesus' response is this. He says unto them, how is it that you sought me? Wist ye not, or did you not know, that I must be about my father's business? Verse 50 tells us, they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. Do we understand the statement he spake unto them? What was the trip back to Nazareth like after this encounter? We're not told, except we are told in verse 51 that he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. I believe God gave us to this so that our minds would not ever question the purity of the Lord Jesus. The sinlessness. He was sinless. He was subject unto them, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Well, what a valuable passage for us tonight to remind us that we can get so caught up in the humanity that we can lose sight of the eternal. Here we have Joseph and Mary get caught up with their role as being parents of the child Jesus. And you can't really necessarily fault them, and they were doing what they were supposed to be doing. I mean, take a step back and say, why in the world did this happen anyway? God's in control. I mean, think about that. Why did God orchestrate such a happening and then preserve it for you and me to read about? It's to teach us that Jesus truly understood from even being a boy, his identity was that of, I am the Son of God, and that is priority in my life. Why? Because my Father has a plan for my life. And it was not working with wood, but it was hanging on a wooden cross. Allow the impact of such a statement. Do you not know that I must be about my Father's business? And this key statement takes us as the reader and turns us around so that we rightly look at and identify with Jesus. He is the Son of God. Who is he? He's the Son of God. Why is he here? What's he to do? He's got business to attend to, and it's not carpentry. It is the cross. God the Father is in charge. The text tells us Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Jesus was a human being. He was a man. But yet he was fully God. He lived a human life, but yet he had a divine mission. That divine mission was not always understood, even by those who loved him and were the closest to him. Think about how often even his very disciples sought to redirect him from the mission that God had for him. But we know Jesus understood his mission. Jesus understood his Father's business. And praise be to God, he did. Lord Jesus, we thank you for using such a text to teach us this truth. And for us, as we enjoy the Gospels, to just enjoy the truth that you, Lord, understood all along who you were, who you are, I should say. So God, take us from here, and you're going to launch us many different directions this week, many different experiences. Our lives will be different as a result of things that happened this week. But God, through it all, you are our Lord and you are our King. In Jesus' name, amen.